Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I are taking communion during the broadcast. When you take communion, your mind is focused on spiritual things instead of the physical around you. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth." You take communion when you have a challenge or when you need a breakthrough in the spirit. We give you card number 41 in the Power Pack as a guide to help you when you take communion in your home. We also have a 2-CD series on communion to help you understand the importance of communion in your life. God refresh and renew you as you take communion with us. Now let's join the program.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted that you folks are with us today. And as we told you a couple of days ago, we want to take communion today. So if you didn't hear that announcement and you want to get your cup and your bread ready, why, we'll do that in a little bit here during the show. And we've had a lot of great comments about taking communion with people. And some of you are shut in. Some of you are sick. Yes. Some of you can't get to your church to take communion. We understand that, so that's why we're doing it here on the air. And it's also intended to be a teaching session for you to show you really how to do it. And I want to remind you, there's nothing in Scripture that says a priest has to serve it or that you have to go to a church. You don't have to do that. And if you look in the book of Acts, these ordinary people became extraordinary by the power of Holy Spirit, but they went from house to house breaking bread, and I believe that meant communion.
Oh, I do too. Also, Darren, a lot of people only take communion 2 or 3 times a year in their churches. And you realize that you and I take it at home and then here, and every opportunity where there is a challenge in our life or we are lifting something up in prayer, like this Iraqi war right now. We want you to know that we're praying for our soldiers, but also we can do things. We can fast, and we can take communion on a daily basis. That really touches the heart of God when you take communion and reverence what God had set before us in the body and the blood of Jesus. That really blesses Him when we take that respectfully, Darren. And
exactly.
I believe it draws us closer to Him, and also our mind is on spiritual things during the day more than on the earthly things. You know, and in Colossians 3 it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things beneath."
Right.
And so many times the enemy wants us to just be totally focused on what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, how to work, and it's so frustrating.
Well, there's so much power in communion, so I'm going to suggest again that you get your bread or your cracker and your communion cup, and we happen to use Welch's grape juice. You can use whatever you want to use. And you know, Barbara, at times I've been caught and I could not get grape juice in a hotel or whatever, and we used other products. One time I was stuck and I had to use Pepsi, but you know,
well,
God honored that.
I understand that, but I believe that every believer should have a little stash of grape juice and crackers somewhere in their house.
I agree.
And I really challenge you to have those little packets of grape juice or a little can of grape juice in your freezer. That keeps for a year. Always have it on a hand. We never know, Darren, when somebody comes to our home and they are full of anxiety, they are under a terrible burden, and we can just open the box and say, "Here, let's take communion together."
Right.
God is going to bless us here around this table, and it is always a blessing.
And you know, it doesn't have to be a time of great distress. You might just want to celebrate the Lord's presence.
Yes.
You've had Christian friends over, and you say, "You know, before you go home, why don't we sit down and take communion together?" And I believe that's a great thing. And now, the other night, I can't remember how long ago it was, but our daughter called from Tulsa, and she said one of the grandkids was struggling with some kind of sickness deal. I said, I'll tell you what, we're going to have communion here in just a little bit for healing for the little one. And I can't remember if it was Hannah or whether
it was Jonathan.
It was Jonathan, okay.
And he was throwing up all the time.
Well, that's pretty serious.
Yes, and so Kimberly just, you know, she wanted peace to come to his little body as well as, you know, it gets to be really aggravating right. When there every time you turn around, there's throw up on the rug or the floor or something.
And, you know, the next morning he was doing fine. But,
yes.
You know, this kind of thing can hang on if God doesn't intervene. Now, you have a card on communion out of the Power Pack, don't you?
Yes, I do. And it's card number 41 in the Power Pack. And it's for communion specifically. And we made this card for communion so that if you don't know how to confess something or how to pray or what scriptures to use, this little card is going to get you started. And we're going to say this as soon as we're ready.
Matter
for
of fact,
communion.
When we do the communion, we'll just take it right off the card out of the Power Pack. That's card number 41.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a Power Pack, they're $5, and we'll be glad to get them in the mail to you. One of the things that we had here is this idea had to come from the Lord. But we put them in a cassette tape case. That will tell you that they're small. They'll fit right in your pocket or your purse or on the visor of the car or on the bathroom mirror or maybe on the computer screen at work. And as you remember to confess the word of the Lord, your life will change.
Yes, I've had some people, as I've given them this little cassette case, and at the Power Pack, it's navy blue and bright red on the front, and it almost looks like a tape. And several people have said to me over the years, oh, I don't have a tape recorder. And I said, oh, this isn't a tape. These are cards. These are little note cards you can carry in your pocket. Oh, so they've been kind of surprised by the fact that the Power Pack does sit in a cassette case very well. Now, and that was your idea.
Well, you know, well, I'll tell you, I want it to be convenient. I don't want to have to rubber band all this stuff and send it all over.
Another
thing we also have, and it's also an audio book, we call it, and it is really the scriptures on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd rather have that or have that in addition to the cards, why we have that. You can find these products listed on our magazine, the Freedom Magazine. We put that out every month, mm-hmm. and we always give you a list of the albums that we have. And we design these things to bring a blessing into your life and to make you really strong as a believer.
That's right. We also have a two-tape series called Communion, and it's blood, power, and authority,
right.
and God's authority and power in that communion ceremony that you can partake of as often as you desire. Yes, Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11, as often as you take this, do this in remembrance of Jesus' death. And Darren, it was his lifeblood that was the living, living presence of Jesus, and it is today. And when he said in John 6, take this bread, this is my body, he truly meant that.
It
wasn't symbolic anymore. It was his body and also the blood.
Well, you can tell that we're excited about communion, and so you get your elements ready, and in a little bit while we'll take it together, we here with you at your house or your office or wherever you are, and you know, there's no distance in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Then I want to shift gears here for just a minute and say to you people that live in Portland, we are not going to be with you tomorrow at the Shiloh out at PDX. We have canceled that meeting. We're going to reschedule it. We don't have a date yet, but I have talked to the people at the Shiloh, and they've been very, very cooperative. So as soon as we know what we're doing securely about a date and the arrangements and all that, we'll be getting back to you in the magazine and on the air. So tomorrow, the meeting is canceled at the Shiloh Inn at PDX, so we will not be there. Now, if you go out there, you'll be by yourself.
Oh.
At least you won't be with us, and
well,
we won't be with you.
At least they've got good food.
They do have good food.
You can have lunch there.
Right.
Oh,
so anyway,
God.
We'll give you that announcement. I'll give that again before we get out of here today. But we're concerned about our troops and about finances, about healing, about career problems. And, you know, I think we ought to just roll right in and do the communion right now. Let's just do that.
All right. I just want to say a little one thing about the blood.
Sure.
And in the Old Testament, God puts much emphasis, in fact, Zoe emphasis on the blood, in the fact that in Leviticus 17:11 he says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls." Now, here in the Old Testament, they took animals and they sacrificed them. They drained the blood out of the animals before they roasted them and ate them, because that blood is the life. And the Lord said in the Old Testament, don't drink the blood. Drain that blood from that sacrificial animal before you eat it. And part of that animal was burned as a fragrance to the Lord. It was on the altars. But part of the sacrifices given was given to the Levites and then back to the people. This was an intimate time. I wish you knew the heart of God, that this is an intimate time with the Lord. He loves to commune with you, and he loves to fellowship with you. And this was a fellowship time with the Lord. This, when the sacrifices came and they burned them and everybody ate in the presence of the Lord, this was a time when he felt like he was with his people, among his people, Darren. And some of these sacrificial times were great times of rejoicing and feasting also of the people.
Well, there's also reference made to this, and I was just reading this yesterday in Deuteronomy chapter 12 in our daily readings, and in verse 23 it says, "Only be sure not to eat the blood, for the blood is the life."
Yes.
"And you shall not eat the life with the flesh."
Yes.
Now, this was a lower form of life. We're talking about the life of an animal here, but that life force was in the blood of that animal. And he says, "I don't want you to ingest or to eat that. I don't want you to swallow that and put that on the inside of you." I believe this is a precursor to the communion we have in Jesus' blood in the New Testament, which is a higher form of life. It's divine life that's hidden really in the blood of Jesus. That is the very bloodline of the Father God. It was delivered to Mary through the divine sperma. That is the bloodline of the Father.
Yes, it is. And he was saving this, Darren, for the blood of Jesus to
right.
make atonement for our sins on an eternal basis, on a basis where we didn't have to do it once a year anymore. Oh, praise God. It's wonderful to know that in John 6, now when Jesus actually said, they had communion, and he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself." Now, this is a total contradiction to the Old Testament, Darren.
Now, that scripture, where was that scripture?
John 6:53. Now, in Leviticus, he says, "Don't drink the blood, drain all the blood from the sacrifices." In the New Testament, Jesus, who is God in the flesh, says, "Now drink of my blood and eat of my body." Why? Because he's the true sacrifice lamb. He is truly the sacrifice lamb. And if you read a page in the magazine last month or this month, you will realize the Passover lamb is actually Jesus Christ. God had already planned it, Darren, in the Old Testament, that Jesus would come and make eternal atonement for our sins.
You know, that is so powerful, Barbara.
Praise
and we
God.
Have to make that connection.
Yes.
In the Old Testament, they would take a lamb and slay the lamb, and that blood from that animal was intended to cover the sins of the people. Now, but in a New Testament sense with Jesus, his blood is full of eternal life. It has the ability to take away sin. So when we confess the power of his blood, and I want to tell you what a lot of the old-timers did. When they were having a real spiritual battle, they would do what they call plead the blood. Now, when you plead the blood, it's like this. You may pray like this. You may say, "Father God, by the power in the blood of Jesus Christ, I come against this infirmity in my body. I come against this financial pressure. I come against this problem with my career." And God can do that.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
right.
He can, when we lean on and we recognize the power of Jesus' blood, which belongs to us.
Oh, praise God.
Jesus shed his blood for us. Well, when we realize then we can plead the blood, it's like pleading, going to a higher power, a higher court, and say, "I got a problem here. I can't, in my humanness, I can't take care of."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't get myself well on my own. I have to have something bigger than the disease or the infirmity. Well, there's power in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus to take care of that problem.
Oh,
and it's available
God.
To us to use and to tap into and to celebrate and to honor anytime.
Amen.
Every day.
Praise God.
Wonderful.
Do you have a new magazine?
I think I do. Let me look. We've got to find this here. And yes, I do. Here it is.
Oh,
now, this
God.
Is the one we've just sent out this week, so
Let's
you
see,
should
April
have it on
issue.
Your doorstep.
That's right. And we have a lot of things about the redemption of Jesus. And on page 8, we do have an article on the Passover lamb, that the Passover lamb was without blemish in Exodus 12:5, but we also see Jesus as the unblemished lamb in 1 Peter 1. The Passover lamb was one of the flock, and here he was like his brethren in all things, Darren. He came man, and he came God, that he could be identify with his brothers.
Well, he is called Son of Man in some scripture and Son of God.
That's right. And so Hebrews 2:17 says, "Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest." And then the Passover lamb was killed between 3 and 6 p.m. in Exodus 12:6. Jesus died at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., it says in Mark 15. And the Passover lamb's blood was put in a basin and smeared on the door crosspiece of the Jewish homes, the sign and symbol of the cross. And it was the blood of the lamb and the sign of the cross, the piece that saved them. It was the blood of the lamb Jesus that saves us. And then the Passover lamb was to be consumed that night. Nothing was to be left over for the next day. Jesus' body was taken down and did not remain on the cross overnight. And that's John 19:31. And then the Passover lamb's bones were not to be broken, Exodus 12:46. And the Roman custom was to break the legs of those crucified to accelerate death. But seeing that Jesus was already dead, they did not carry it out, John 19:33. He is our Passover lamb.
Now, I want to say this to you, folks. We put a ton of time and preparation and prayer into these magazines. Take the articles, like this one that you just had here on the blood and on the sacrificial lamb. Meditate that. Get the revelation in your heart. Now, here's something God just spoke to me. I mean, just right here while we're doing this show. He said, and you referred to this about the Passover. Well, the death angel came, and if there wasn't blood on the doorpost, then the oldest child in that home would die. And that happened now for not only for the children, but for the livestock. Well, guess what? The Egyptians had a funeral in every household. Up to the kings and down to the servants, there was a death in every household. Here's what you can do when there's a problem. You can say, Father God, I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I ask you to judge this infirmity in my body as an intruder. Pass over my house and get these things out of here because I'm covered by the blood.
Yes.
Now, the blood now Jesus. Covers our hearts, not the doorposts, but it covers our hearts. And see, when you say, judge me according to your word, according to the blood of Jesus, you're saying any infirmity, any lack here, shouldn't be here, and it's not a part of the blood package, the blood coverage.
Yes.
See, then you become very proactive and very aggressive here because you want to be healed. You want to be set free.
Yes, and that cross piece, Darren, is symbolic of the cross because you have one post going perpendicular
Then
one post going horizontal, and so you almost got the symbol of a cross at the Passover
Exactly. Of
the death angel. Also, when they raised up that staff with the snake on it, when the people were being bitten by poisonous snakes, and they made that brass snake to keep the people from dying, this cross piece, Dr. Zodiati says, this staff must have had a cross piece because a snake would have just slithered down the staff if there's no cross piece on that staff to keep the snake up. So we can see that it was upheld by probably a cross piece, the very symbol of the cross. And Jesus is that symbol for us on the cross.
Well, today I want you to think about who you would want to remember in communion. And what we're saying is we want to remember these people, these circumstances, in the power of Jesus' name and Jesus' blood. I want to suggest to you that when you take communion, go over to Luke chapter 22. And here's what it says. And when the hour had come, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it until it is fulfilled again, until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, now, here, right here, we're going to break the bread, all right? And he says, he had taken it and broke it and gave it to them. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, you can repeat this affirmation out loud when you're taking communion.
And this is from card 41.
Right. I want you to do that, Barb. You're more familiar with your cards, and you're the one that made that out, so why don't you give that to us?
And this is what you say out loud, and if you have your card with you, say this with me. Because Jesus took of the bread and drank of the cup the night before his death, I accept communion as a vital part of the new covenant to be taken often with holy reverence and thankfulness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Now, when he says, this is the new covenant, which is poured out for you in my blood, he meant that. It was a living ceremony. Now, unfortunately, in my background, this wasn't treated as a living ceremony. It was almost a tradition, something you do because you're supposed to do it. Therefore, we didn't have the teaching like we're trying to give you here. What we're telling you is there's life in the blood. This life is eternal life, and it can defeat sickness and infirmity in your body.
Yes.
It can defeat financial problems. That's why it's good to take it often.
Yeah, so Father God, in Jesus' name, as we've blessed the bread And we bless this cup to be the body and the blood of Jesus. And right now, Father God, we take communion, knowing that you have you want us and desire us to take it often. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Now, our way of doing this, I started to say tradition. I guess it's almost that. But what we do is we take a small amount of the bread or the cracker, whatever you're taking, and we dip that in the cup, and we can serve each other or we can serve ourselves.
Yes,
and it's a great thing to do. Some of you need to be taking communion daily at your house, daily. And you'll find it become more and more meaningful to you. It won't stagnate and become commonplace. It will become very, very meaningful to you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I praise you for your broken body and your shed blood that was given for me, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you are victorious over all the schemes of the enemy. And I take this in your precious name. Thank you, Lord.
And Father God, we think of our family members. And we cover them today with the energy and the power that's hidden in the blood of Jesus. Lord God, we lift up our troops and the troops of the coalition forces
that are
fighting in Iraq. And Lord, I know this nation is going to be liberated because our country is willing to pay the price. And the reason we're willing to pay the price is our country was founded on Christian principles. And Father God, we're coming against the spirits that motivate Saddam and the Iraqis to be such killers and torturers. We thank you, Lord, that this regime is going to be unseated because we cover that whole country and especially our troops with the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood. And then, Lord, for those that need healing, whether they're on the battlefield or at home, we cover them with the power that's in the blood of Jesus. And we say, death, you must depart. We come against the spirit of death and dying. And we thank you, Father, today. And we lift up these servicemen and servicewomen from the United States and the coalition, that they will be protected by the power of Jesus' name and Jesus' blood.
Thank you,
Father. We have a ceremony that's living and alive, and we praise you for it.
And again, Jesus, I thank you for your blood that has made atonement for our sins in your precious name. And as you do this, you can take a cracker and do it four or five times, as many times as you want to pray for people. God is there with you, and anything is fine with your Father God. It really is. So take it again and again.
You know, Barb, I like what you said there. This is not fast food. It's not just something you gobble and run. You might, and I would suggest this to you, if you have, you're really up against something, you want a breakthrough. Take quite a measure of bread, and maybe you want to take a whole glass.
Thank you, Jesus.
Of the juice, and then you spend time at a meal. You know, if you have a good friend, you don't want them to eat and run. You want them to sit down because you're taking time to prepare that meal and pray over it like we do here. Bless the cup, bless the bread, ask Jesus to do the same thing. And then that ordination comes on the elements. That's the bread and the cup. And then you take that. And you might want to take it again and again over a period of several hours until that burden lifts and you know the breakthrough has come, and it will come.
Yes, praise God. And as you take the last piece there, Darren, I also thank you, Lord, for blessing our troops in other parts of the world today. And Father God, we know that the terror alert is high all over the world. And I ask that you be with the troops in Afghanistan, those in the line between North Korea and South.
The DMZ.
The DMZ zone, Lord. Father God, I thank you that you're with all our troops, every one of our troops out there fighting for their country. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, that you are the champion. You are the captain of the hosts of the armies, and you are going to come out victorious. We praise you, Lord, in everything.
And Father God, we lift up President Bush and his cabinet, Secretary Rumsfeld. We lift them up. We lift up Condoleezza Rice. And Lord, we thank you, and General Tommy Franks is directing this whole operation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, I believe these are godly people. I believe they honor you, that they do with their mouths. And we bless them, and we speak protection over their families and over their physical well-being. And we thank you that righteousness is going to prevail. This is a war between wickedness and righteousness. And we're going to thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that at this time in history, we have a man in the White House leading our country is born again and doesn't mind talking about prayer. Talking about God. Doesn't mind talking about faith. And Lord, we salute this man. We ask that you give him unusual strength and protection. And Father God, we even come against those forces in our nation who would like to dislodge our confidence. Lord, they'll not be able to do that. Mm, we speak judgment against their words. We judge their words and their actions in righteousness. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Now, according to Hebrews 1:14, it says, are not all, meaning the angels, sent out to perform service for those that inherit salvation? Lord God, this is a godly nation. And we celebrate you as the Almighty Living God with a son named Jesus. You only have one son. And we thank you today. And we bless the troops. And we send the angels in there to be the warrior angels to protect our men and women. Thank you, Father God, and to bring this awful war to a sudden conclusion. We thank you in Jesus' powerful name. We commission the angels to go forth in righteousness and do the job for righteousness' sake. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Well,
hallelujah.
You know, you read in Luke 22, what a wonderful ceremony. Oh, praise God for Jesus and his blood.
You can feel the power of God right here in the studio, can't you?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Praise the Lord. You were reading, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.
So what does that mean?
Well, and I looked it up in Mark also, Mark 14:25. It says, truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And I believe Jesus is saying this because he was the fruit. He was the fruit of the vine.
He was.
And he couldn't drink himself.
He was
establishing right there that moment with his disciples the importance of this wonderful ceremony of communion, that this blood actually is the blood of Jesus, the energizing Zoe life blood of Jesus, and that bread is the broken body. He was telling his disciples about what was going to happen to him before it happened.
Now, I'm going to read a few verses here in John chapter 15. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every
yes.
branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me.
That's live.
That's the vine life right
yes,
there. So
that
you need
is.
To be connected up to the source. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. It shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Oh, I tell you, I just hate to leave this lesson today and this time with you, because you folks are like family to us, and we love you, and we don't mind taking communion for you at all.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.